We come again to the Baptist Catechism, and we are considering question number 8 and the answer. Question 8 is this: what is God? What is God? And the answer: God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. What is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Now, this is the fifth message that we have spent dealing with the question and the answer, number 8 in the Baptist Catechism. The reason we're doing that is so that we don't fly quickly over who God is as he reveals himself in Scripture. But we want to take each one of these attributes one at a time. That's the goal, so that we can zero in on God's attributes as revealed in the answer to this question and as revealed faithfully in his written word. And tonight, what is before us is the justice of God, that God is just. So I would remind you that the answer to the question is beautifully framed, and it is essentially this concerning God's justice. God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his justice. God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in justice. And now it's my aim to point you to 7 things to consider, 7 points concerning the fact that God is just and concerning how he executes his justice. So it's not only the fact that God is just, but him being just, then how does he act? And what does that mean for you and I? The first thing I would draw your attention to is this. I have 7. Number 1, God is just. Let's not assume that, but let's see if the answer to question 8 in the catechism is correct. And I think it is, because God clearly reveals himself as being just. Consider with me Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. Deuteronomy 32, 4. The rock, speaking of Yahweh, speaking of the Lord God, the creator and sustainer of everyone and everything, the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, without sin, just and upright is he. At the end of Moses' long sermon in the book of Deuteronomy, he says, the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. So mark it down in your mind. God is just. Just and upright is he. Now, what does it mean that God is just? Or what is a good definition of the word justice? And it, I think, is answered clearly by my favorite Puritan, Thomas Watson, when he says, justice is to give everyone his due. To give everyone what is due him. That's what justice is. You give people what they are owed. It is to live in a righteous way. And if you are just, you are righteous. So think of the word justice as a sister or a brother to the word righteous or righteousness. Just, same thing as righteous. Justice, same thing as righteousness. These are brothers and sister words. Justice is to give everyone his due. God's justice, Watson continues, God's justice is the righteousness of his nature, whereby he is carried to the doing of that which is righteous and equal. God's justice is the righteousness of his nature, whereby he is carried to the doing of that which is righteous and equal. That God is just, what Moses means when he says just and upright is he. Those words are synonymous. Upright would be a sister of just. He is just. He is upright. The Lord does what is right. He is in his very essence just and righteous. He not only executes justice, but he is just in his essence, in his very nature. God possesses justice innately. God is just in his essence. And now consider, not only that God is just, but the second thing I would point you to is that God does what is just. Point two, God does what is just. He is just, and therefore what comes from him and what he does and what he says is just. Consider Genesis 18, verse 25, where Abraham says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? And the answer is, he shall. It's a rhetorical question. The judge of all the earth, God himself, he will do what is just. He does what is just. Consider also Psalm chapter 111, verse 7. The psalmist writes, or rather sings, "The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy." So see that God does what is just because he is just. And the psalmist even sings, "All his precepts are trustworthy." Speaking of God doing only what is right, what is upright, what is good, what is righteous. Therefore, what comes from God, his works and his words are just. All his precepts are trustworthy because everything that he does and says is just. God does what is just. Third, consider that God loves justice. Do you know there are certain things that God loves and certain things God hates? Mark it down in your mind. God loves justice. Psalm chapter 33, verse 5. He, speaking of God, loves righteousness and justice. God loves, delights in justice. So would you be the kind of person that God loves? Would your life look like a life lived that God would say, "I love those actions. I love those thoughts. I love those words"? Then be just. Be righteous. Do what is right. Measure with equal scales. Give to people what they deserve. God is just. He does what is just. And he loves justice. Therefore, he loves himself. And he loves his works. And he loves his words. Because he loves justice. Consider also, fourth, that God hates injustice. Not only does he love justice, but he, in his perfections, hates injustice. If he loves justice, he's going to hate injustice. If he loves righteousness, which the scripture reveals he does, therefore then he hates unrighteousness. Think with me concerning Isaiah chapter 61, verse 8. Isaiah writes, "Speaking on behalf of the Lord as the mouthpiece of God, for I, the Lord, love justice." There's the love. "I hate robbery and wrong." Robbery and wrong is set against justice because it is the antithesis to justice. So sometimes we can only understand a word properly when we understand the opposite of the meaning of that word. So if it would help you, consider justice is the opposite of robbery, not giving someone what they deserve, or taking from someone what belongs to them or what they deserve. Justice is the opposite of robbery, and it is the opposite of wrong, of wrongdoing. The Lord loves justice, and Isaiah speaks on behalf of the Lord, and the Lord says through him, "I hate robbery and wrong." You could say it, the Lord is saying, "I love justice, I hate injustice." God is just, God does what is just, God loves justice, and God hates, detests, despises, is angry at injustice. Thomas Jefferson once wrote, "My heart trembles when I reflect that God is just." My heart trembles, says Jefferson, when I reflect that God is just. Does your heart tremble before the Lord of glory when you realize He will give every single person what they deserve? Does that make you quake in your boots? God is just. For a sinner to hear and understand that God is just, someone that is not clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, does not have their sins forgiven through the blood of His cross, the justice of God should be one of the most terrifying things to understand. That's why Jefferson said, "When I think about that, it makes me tremble." This should be terrifying to you if you're not in Christ. This should be terrifying to you when you do not give others what they have earned or what they deserve. What is their due? Because God hates injustice. Fifth, consider building off of everything we've seen thus far, and I've pointed you to in the scriptures. I'm going to get to a few therefores, or because God is just, what does that mean for you and I? Not only is He just, not only does He do what is just, not only does He love justice and hate injustice, but therefore, because God is just, He will punish sinners. God does not send sin to hell. He sends sinners to hell. God does not simply punish sin. God punishes sinners. And because God is just, He will punish sinners. Consider what Ezra writes in Ezra chapter 9, verse 15. "O Lord, the God of Israel, You are just. Behold, we are before You in our guilt, for none can stand before You." If you stand before God Himself, who is just, you have nothing to offer Him on your own but the unjust actions that you've done, the unjust thoughts that you've thought, the unjust words that you've spoken. All you've got to offer God is the injustice you've committed against His creatures and against Him. And that's why Ezra says, "You are just. Behold, we are before You in our guilt." You stand before the Lord only clothed in your own thoughts, your own actions, what you have done in the body, and you stand before Him guilty. And Ezra says, he's saying, therefore, none can stand before You. He doesn't mean no one can try to stand before God and throw their finger up to heaven. He's saying when you stand before God and he judges you, you cannot stand in the judgment. You will not be able to stand there and give any kind of a defense for the injustices that you've committed against God and against his creatures. That's what Ezra means. Behold, we are before you in our guilt, for none can stand before you. Do you know that that's all you've got to offer God? The only thing you can truly offer him, unless you're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, unless you've been born again, all you can offer him is your guilt that you need to be forgiven of, cleansed of, redeemed from. If you stand before God in your own rights, he owes you nothing but death, hell, and his wrath for an eternity for the sins you've committed against him. You cannot stand before God. Why? Because he is just. Consider also the beginning of the book of Nahum, where the prophet writes, "The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will by no means clear the guilty." The Lord will by no means look at guilty sinners who have committed a vast number of injustices. He will not look at them and clear the bar. He will not clear the guilt that is on you and I if we stand on our own before him. If you would make yourself acceptable to God through your sincerity, through you giving your best efforts to obey God, through trying to be a good person, trying to always do what is right and just, if you try to stand on your own merits, you will stand before the Lord and he will not judge you according to the seemingly good things you've done. He will judge you finally based on the injustices that you've done. He will by no means clear the guilty. The prophet Nahum continues, "Who can stand before his indignation?" Doesn't that sound like Ezra? None can stand. We can't stand before you because you're just. Nahum is saying the same thing. Who can stand before his indignation for sin? Who can endure the heat of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken into pieces by him. With an overflowing flood, he will make a complete end of the adversaries and will pursue his enemies into darkness. Beloved friend, please hear me. God is just. He does what is just. He loves justice. He hates injustice. And because he is just, he will punish sinners for their sin. It is precisely because God is just that sin's penalty will be carried out on those who are not reconciled to him through the work of Jesus. You cannot get to the judgment having not put your faith in Jesus in this life, stand before the throne of God and plead God's mercy. You will not get God's mercy. He has made his mercy apparently available to you in this life and said, everyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will be justified, will be declared righteous because of what Christ has done for them, and they're apprehending him, clinging to him through faith in him. You will not be able to plead for God's mercy. In the judgment, you will get God's justice. And him being just requires that he carries out the penalty that you deserve for your sin. And it will not be over in a few moments. It will not be over in a few generations. It will not be over in a few centuries. You will spend an eternity separated from God's love and mercy and in the immediate presence of God's justice and wrath. paying for your sin forever. Oh, tremble before the Lord and His justice, sinner. Tremble that God is just, and all He owes you for your sin is death. For the wages of sin, the paycheck for sin, the due God owes you for your sin against Him is death. The wicked shall drink a sea of wrath, but not one sip, but no one will sip one drop of injustice. The wicked shall drink a sea of wrath, but not sip one drop of injustice. No one will get injustice from God. If you will not be reconciled to God through the work of Jesus Christ, through Him and faith in Him, you will get the sea of wrath. But none of it will be injustice. You will simply get what you deserve. That's what Thomas Watson said. The wicked shall drink a sea of wrath, but not sip one drop of injustice. Watson's right. God has never done anything unjust to anyone else. God has never spoken something unjust. He's only done what is right and good. And it will not be an injustice to you to be punished forever in hell for your sin if you refuse to come to Jesus Christ. Because God is just, He will punish sinners. And this leads us straight into the good news of the gospel. This is why we need the gospel. The gospel, that word means good news that brings joy, that brings happiness. But the gospel will only bring you joy if you first admit and accept that all you deserve and have earned is God's justice. If you understand that, He will by no means clear the guilty, you will be prepared to hear what is good news, and it will be good news received by you. The fifth thing I would draw your attention to as we consider God's justice, or rather the sixth thing, is that the gospel is the good news that God is just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. The gospel is the good news that God is just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. How can God be just and at the same time justify sinners? This is one of the most important questions you can ask in order to understand the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If God is just, or seeing clearly laid out in the scripture that God is just, He will by no means clear the guilty, how can we then have the promise in the scripture that God will justify, which means declare to be righteous, count righteous, accept righteous, those who are sinners, those who have done nothing but sin, those who on their own stand before God with their guilt? How can God be just and let sinners off the hook for their sin and at the same time declare them to be righteous? The answer is the gospel. How can God be just and the justifier? Through the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross to take the justice sinners deserve, to take the fury of God's wrath and anger for sin, for sinners, and die as a substitute in our place, making satisfaction for God concerning His justice that we deserve. Jesus died on the cross to take the justice sinners deserve and therefore give them the blessing He deserves. Oh, this is truly a great exchange. That's what Martin Luther called the gospel. The great exchange is that God takes our sin off of us, our guilt, and places it on the back of Jesus Christ. Jesus went to the cross, paying for our sin, being tormented with the wrath of God for our sin, and died the death we deserve. And when we come to faith in the Lord Jesus, God then takes the perfect righteousness of Christ and applies that to our account. There's the exchange. Our sin goes to Jesus on the cross. His righteousness, through our faith in Him, comes to us. And then God justly declares us just, right, as you should be. He treats us as if we are righteous. That's the message of the gospel. Romans 3, 25 and 27. Paul writes, God put forward Jesus as a propitiation by His blood. Propitiation means something that turns what was wrath into favor and blessing. What was anger, justice, judgment, it gets turned into blessing, love, acceptance, righteousness. How did God put forward Jesus as a propitiation? Paul says, by His blood. Oh, see the infinite worth of the blood of Jesus Christ, that God puts Him forward as a propitiation by His blood, so that we who have faith in Jesus will have the reversal. Where there was once wrath, now there's only love and acceptance. This is the power, the efficacy of the blood of Jesus Christ, Him dying in place of sinners. God put forward Jesus as a propitiation by His blood, that means in His death, to be received by faith. If you want God to no longer be wrathful, angry at you, then get faith in the blood of Jesus Christ and know that the wrath is transformed to love and acceptance, because Jesus' work is clothing you. It is received by faith alone, in Christ alone. In verse 27, Paul gives us a very clear explanation of why God did that. Why God put forward Jesus as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. And it has to do with God's justice. Paul's answering the question, how can God be just and say righteous to someone who in their actions and thoughts is not actually righteous? He says in verse 27 of Romans 3, so that He, that is God, might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. This is the message of the gospel. Jesus stood in place of sinners so that everyone who receives Him by faith in Him, trust in Him, confidence in Him, dependence on Him, submission to Him, everyone who does that will be declared just. And so God can remain just and justify sinners because He clothes them with Christ's work in their place. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, how beautiful the good news of the gospel is, that God does not sweep sin under the cosmic rug of the universe. He doesn't compromise His justice and clear the guilty, but God in eternity past devised a plan and decreed that He would redeem sinners, He would forgive sinners, He would declare them righteous, and at the same time still be just and righteous in every way. If God simply said, I'll just let you off the hook for your sin, He would cease to be just. But since God put forward Jesus to pay the penalty for our sin and to uphold the law perfectly in our place, God can then impute to us, give to us, Jesus' work on the cross to take it away, and Jesus' work in His perfect life, culminating in His submission and death, in order to clothe us with perfect righteousness. Our righteousness is not our own. It is in heaven. We are clothed with the alien righteousness of Christ. Alien meaning it's external to us. God doesn't declare you righteous based on your righteousness. He declares you righteous based on Christ's righteousness for you. This gospel truth is, I think, captured beautifully in John Newton's old hymn, "Let Us Love and Sing and Wonder." Newton sings, and oh, we should sing it with him, "Let us wonder, grace and justice, join and point to mercy's store. When through grace in Christ your trust is, justice smiles and asks no more." Oh, let us wonder at grace and justice. They join and point to mercy's store. And when through grace in Christ our trust is, justice smiles and asks no more. Can you sing that line of Newton's old hymn? Can you sing it knowing that God's grace and His justice are perfectly revealed in the cross of Jesus? God is so just that He will not overlook our sin, and at the same time so gracious that He sent Jesus to die in our place and take the justice we deserve. Let us wonder, grace and justice. This is what Paul means when he writes, "For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." 2 Corinthians 5:21. John Flavel writes, "We are justified by the very righteousness of Christ and no other. He wrought it, He purchased it, He worked it, though we wear it." Do you know that's true? Is that true for you? The only way God's going to declare you righteous is if He clothes you with the righteousness of Christ and no other. You cannot stand justified before God unless you have faith in Jesus. He wrought it, though we wear it. Do you wear the righteousness of Christ? That is to say, is your faith continually in Jesus and His work alone, so that in your mind you're thinking, "I am clothed, I'm covered with the righteousness of Jesus and what He's done for me. I know God smiles at me because He doesn't ultimately look at me in my sins and injustices, but He looks at me hidden in Christ." If you know that, and if your faith is in Jesus, God, who is just, has justified you. He's just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. This is what Martin Luther labored to try to discover until God finally removed the scales from his eyes and he saw the plain, simple, and wonderful message of the gospel. This is what Luther writes concerning his conversion. "Night and day I pondered until I saw the connection between the justice of God and the statement that the just shall live by his faith. Then I grasped that the justice of God is that righteousness by which, through grace and sheer mercy, God justifies us through faith. Thereupon I felt myself to be reborn and to have gone through the open doors into paradise." Have you gone through those open doors into paradise? Have you walked through the narrow gate that leads to eternal life? There are many roads that lead to death, and there is one narrow path and narrow gate that leads to life. And it reads, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Have you walked through that gate? Have you felt heaven opened to you and God saying, come, renounce all of your own merits, renounce all of your sins, renounce all of your efforts by which you would try to make me happy towards you, and simply trust in the righteousness of Christ in your place? If your faith is in Jesus, you have gone through those gates. You have entered paradise. You are justified. And the seventh thing I would point you to, beloved, is this. If you are in Christ, you are as secure as can be because God is just. If you are in Christ, you are as secure as you can be because God is just. Now, why do I say that? I want you to take that to a spiritual bank. You can cash that check that I'm writing because ultimately God wrote that promise of a check with his own lips as he spoke through the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 1. If you're in Christ, you are as secure as can be because God is just. 1 John 1, 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If you say you have no sin, no Christian says that, by the way. Because if you say you have no sin, even being a believer saying, oh, I don't sin anymore. If we say we have no sin, John writes, we deceive ourselves. And that point is worth noting. You don't deceive anyone else. You say you have no sin, you don't deceive your family. You don't deceive your coworkers. You don't deceive those listening to you. And most importantly, you do not deceive God. He will call you to account. We deceive ourselves if we say we have no sin, and the truth is not in us. And now comes the promise in verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why does the Apostle Paul, or rather John, why does he say God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins? Why not God is faithful and gracious, faithful and merciful? It's because God, having put forward Jesus as a propitiation by His blood, if you have received Him by faith, then you know if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just because of what Christ has done for you to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. This is not only our initial forgiveness when we become a Christian, this is our perpetual forgiveness as we ask forgiveness of the Lord to have renewed fellowship with Him, renewed spiritual delight in Him. We confess our sins continually as Christians, and He is faithful and just. Because Jesus died for sinners who will have faith in Him, then those who confess their sins can bank on the justice of God to forgive their sins and cleanse them from all unrighteousness. If you're in Christ, you are as secure as can be because God is just. God, having put forward His only beloved Son to take every drop of His wrath that you deserve, will never then drag you into judgment and pay you for what Jesus already paid for. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Consider Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. This is in the middle of that fiery, trembling passage that I read to you earlier in Nahum 1. Verse 7, Nahum says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows." That means personally knows, has relationship with, loves. He knows those who take refuge in Him. Beloved, God is just. God does what is just. God loves justice. He hates injustice. Because He is just, He will punish sinners. And the gospel is the good news that God is just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And if you are in Christ, or if you would come to Him, turning from your sin and clinging to Him through faith, you will be, or you are, as secure as you can possibly be, because God is just. Having thrown out His Son on your behalf, He will never throw you out. He will embrace you as Jesus deserves, because Jesus died as you deserve. Oh, trust in the just working of God to be just and the justifier through the death of Jesus for the one who has faith in Him. Pray with me. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You reveal clearly what we need to know concerning who You are, concerning who we are in our injustice, and concerning the precious news of what You have done, will do, and will finally complete through the gospel of Your Son, the Lord Jesus. Help us trust in Him and in Him alone and stand gloriously complete. And help us to bank all of our hope on Your justice. Help us to confess our sins, knowing that You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I confess I am unjust. I have not been just and righteous. And I thank You for Jesus being perfectly just in my place and taking the injustice that what I'm owed for my injustice on the cross. We confess we are sinners on our own, and we thank You that You count us and that You regard us as saints, holy ones, if we are in Christ. May You be glorified as we consider and meditate on Your justice. And may we live lives of justice, giving others what they are owed, and live lives of grace, live lives of mercy. May we be righteous. Strengthen us to do that. Strengthen us to do what You require. It's in the name of Jesus we ask. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen.